parents were gifted musicians, and he kept hearing the music in him. He was a gifted young man and sensed this music and its call to him and desired to find it and live in it and experience it. In the orphanage, he was made fun of. He was different. And they called him a freak. And they tried to get him to join in with them, to forget the music. But he couldn't. And they mocked him. They persecuted him. They beat him. But he couldn't let go of it. So he ended up running away in the streets of New York, connected with Robin Williams, who they called the Wizard. And he gathered some street children to himself for his purposes. They played in the park, and people would give money, and that's how he would live. And he would make money off of them. So he encouraged August to play, you know, and he gave him the best spot in Central Park. And everybody recognized what the gifts that this young child had. Well, I won't tell you all of the story, but he ended up in Juilliard for a little bit and was going to have his own concert of one of his creations. And Robin Williams kept trying to take him back. He didn't want him to fulfill his destiny. He wanted him for his purposes. He created fear in August that if he left what then was the family, bad things would happen to him and to others. And so he threatened him. And so August was torn and almost went back for a little bit. But then the desire was too strong, and he went for it and became, you know, who he was created to be. He pressed on in it, knowing there was a greater destiny for him. There's a spiritual parallel here, of course. You know, there's God's call to us. There's the sense. And he said in that one part, Robin Williams said, he said, does everybody hear it? And he said, not everybody's listening. God's call is to each of us. You've heard it. That's why you're here. It stirs by his spirit in us, and he is all around us, and we're created for more, to be more, to do more. But there are things that were people that try to hold us back. The enemy, Satan, does not want us to fulfill our purposes, does not want us to walk in the fullness of who God calls us to be. As Peggy talked about transformation and revealing the glory of God in us and through us and the fullness of his very life in us, we face lots of pulls that try to keep us from that. You know, people that don't want us to. We can be mocked, persecuted, threatened. And we have choices to make, just like August did. Are we going to press on? Tricia, a couple weeks ago, talked about crossing over into the more of what God has. This is the call to each of us. And it's easy to just kind of become complacent. Like August was tempted, he could stay safe there with the family. And he was playing, and he was getting some kudos. But he wanted more. He knew there was more for him. And that's true for us. Sometimes we're tempted to stay safe. Or people will say, now don't get freaky on us. Don't get too serious about this Jesus stuff. Well, yeah, maybe you're right. And the enemy will try to thwart that desire and discourage us in it and keep us in it, from it, and hold us back in it using a variety of ways. And we have choices in it. There's more, and we're called to more. It's exciting. Anne Graham Lotz, you know, some of you heard her a month ago at the Glen, and she wrote My Heart's Cry, and that's a book I heartily recommend for this summer if you want. I love it myself. And she is pressing on in that call. She says, knowing God is the pinnacle of the Christian experience. She writes, why have you stopped short of the heights? Knowing God is what makes life worth living, regardless of your circumstances. What or whom have you allowed to rob your life of meaning? Knowing God is heaven's treasure that we can possess on earth. She says, 26 years ago, she began to study the Bible. And she taught the book of Genesis. Well, she began to teach it. She had studied it, of course, being Billy Graham's daughter. But she began to teach it. And she began with Genesis. And she said, one impact on my life was that it gave me an overwhelmingly strong desire to know God. I didn't want to just know about him. I didn't want to know him casually, as you might know an acquaintance. I wanted to know him like Adam knew him. I wanted to walk with him and talk with him. I wanted to know him like Enoch knew him. I wanted his presence to so fill my life that I would be enveloped in it, aware of nothing except him. I wanted to know him like Noah knew him. I wanted to risk my reputation and everything I have and am to be obedient to his call in my life. I wanted to care more about what God thought than what the world around me thought. I wanted to know him like Abraham knew him. I wanted to have God as my friend. I wanted God to count me as his friend. I want to know him. So she said, so that became my prayer. I made the deliberate decision to seek to know God, and I began a pilgrimage of faith that continues today. She hasn't let anyone or anything hold her back. She's pressing on. I pray I will know him better next year than I do today. That aim has become the singular purpose of my life. It determines my priorities. It determines everything. And she goes on. That's her heart's cry. And it's God's call to each of us to continue to know him better, walk more closely, experience him more fully, to cross over like that Jordan into the promised land. The Israelites had that choice. They saw God miraculously deliver them from Egypt, from bondage, from slavery, and take them through the Red Sea powerfully. And there they stood at the edge of the promised land, ready to go in. And so Joshua sent the spies to go in and to explore the land, sent one from each tribe, 12 of them, to go in and scope it out. And to come back with the report. And they were gone 40 days and they went all over it. And they came back with a wonderful report of just how awesome the land is. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, just like God said. And the fruit they brought back, it was abundant. One cluster of grapes was so large that they had to put it on a pole and two men carry it. Awesome. And God had promised it to them. However, as you know, 10 of the 12 gave a discouraging report. Yes, this is all true, but there are giants there. They were scary. We looked like grasshoppers next to them. and their cities. They were big and fortified. It's impossible. We can't win. And Joshua and Caleb were the two that were saying, no, God has promised. We can do this. But the people listened to the discouraging reports. And then they started grumbling and saying, we wish we'd never left Egypt. And they said, I wish we'd died in the desert. So sadly, God granted them their request. And that generation did die in the desert, and only Joshua and Caleb were the ones that were able to go into the promised land and experience at the end of the 40 years and experience all that God had prepared for them. And that's easy to do. God calls each of us to more, to a promised land. And they let what they saw, and the circumstances and the fears and the unknown, keep them from it. And the enemies, they were like giants and discouraged them and said, no, thank you. And we have that choice. God calls us to more. And longs for us. He says, I've promised you more in me. Everyone who has pursued him finds him. He promises. Everyone who seeks will find. He calls each. He desires to be to each of us all that he is in his fullness, and to lead us in what he has for us to do, as well as making us and molding us and refining us to be who he created us to be. And in that, then there's closeness with him, intimacy, and joy, and peace. We experience fulfillment. It's exciting. Tozer writes how often we do this in our Christian life, what the Israelites did. He says, for everyone that actually crosses over into the promised land, there are many who stand for a while and look longingly across the river and then turn sadly back to the comparative safety of the sandy wastes of the old life. We have a choice. He's calling. It's all around us. It's in us. His Spirit saying there's more. Cross over. Actively pursue. Paul said that's his heart's desire too in Philippians 3. You're familiar with it. Here he says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of all that Christ Jesus took hold of me for. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it completely, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Are we pressing on today? Those obstacles, the giants that can loom before us and discourage us and hold us back. He says, as we consider God's call to each of us, we know 1 John, we're told, you know, there are things we have to fight. The world, the flesh, the devil. All those things tempt us to stay back, not to keep pressing on. The world puts so much out there that is tempting to press on for. Well, look at, you could press on towards this, and not that these are bad, but he's saying, what is your life about? What are you pressing on towards? What is your burning desire? There's so much out there that the enemy makes look appealing and the world and appeals to our flesh. And the flesh can say, ooh, I like that. I want to live for pleasure. I want to live for things. All this is what my life's going to be about. And we don't think that consciously, but we say, what's our heart's desire? How do our schedules and things that we do, excuse me, line up with what we say we really want? It takes effort. We have an enemy who wants to hold us back. He doesn't want us experiencing all that God has for us. And we have others that might try to discourage us. It might disrupt their lives a little bit. So there are many things that we battle if we're going to pursue this and cross over. I'm sorry. For me, you know, we've talked about the conference coming up next year with Ann Graham Lotz, pursuing more of Jesus. And that's what it's about. It's exciting. And as you know, I am a part of this and the planning and preparing, and as some of you are here as well. And when I was first asked, thank you very much, when I was first asked to be one of the chair people of this, I really, you know, sought the Lord in it, but I found a lot of things kind of coming against me to hold me back in it. First, I needed to be sure that it was what God was asking. Then the self. Well, it's going to be a lot of work. And I've got so much to do. I don't need one more thing. Thank you very much. It was overwhelming. It's a huge project and undertaking. And it's for our city, but it's for beyond. And the more I found out about it, the bigger it got. And the more I thought, I don't know. And it was kind of scary. A lot of it was unknown. A lot of it was more than I've taken on before, been called to before. So tempted. Oh, maybe not. The enemy, the devil, would come in and try to keep me from it and create fears and make things loom larger. And I knew it was going to be a battle. And I'm tired of the battle. I don't need a new one. Thank you. But then, well, the Lord encouraged me through his word and called me to it. And then I thought, yes. For several reasons. One, because I long for more of Jesus. I want to know him better. I don't want to miss anything he has for me. I want to know him better through this. And secondly, I want to provide an opportunity for the most number of women to pursue more of Jesus too. What a wonderful privilege and opportunity. And then, thirdly, what was the third thing? I knew it was fear. I thought, okay, now if I say no, what is the reason that I would say, why I would say no? And I had to identify it. It was fear. It was much more comfortable to stay where I was, in the known. So I thought, no, there is no way I'm going to let fear hold me back. And I'm so thankful. Because we're just beginning, but already I see the Lord doing amazing things that thrill me and give me such joy in him. And how he's gone before. He's putting this together. He doesn't ask us to carry it, any of the things he calls us to. And to see how he's making provision for every need in beautiful ways excites me. And experiencing his presence and his seeing his power in new ways draws me closer to him. It helps me get to know him better, thrills me with him, and stirs me more, Lord, more. But for each of us in God's call in our life, whether it's something he has for us to do, but as a lot of our things are the daily things in our lives, that it's easier just to stay comfortable. When Terry, my husband, and I were climbing in Buena Vista quite a few years ago now, we climbed Midland Hill, which they call it a hill, but I'm sure it was a 14er. And I got halfway up, and I thought, this is good enough. You know, oh, look at the view from here. And look at how far I already came. You know, I'm going to stay here. And Terry wanted to keep going, and I said, well, you go on ahead. I'm just going to stay here. This is fine for me. But he wouldn't let me do that. It didn't please me a lot, but I made me climb up to the top. But I was so glad then that I did. When I reached the top, what a view and what exhilaration to be on the heights. And I thought they have that parallel. That's true in the Christian life. We can stop somewhere. This is good enough. I know him well enough. This is just fine. But he has more. And he bids us higher, deeper, closer. We don't want to miss out. And as we grow closer to him, what joy. Oh, I'm glad I didn't miss this. He is the treasure. He is worth everything. He's worth any battle. He's worth any cost. He's worth it. So we go, press on. What for you, you know, do you kind of struggle with? What things loom before you that might hold you back from pursuing more of him, or growing closer in him, of wanting to be yielded more fully to whatever he has and whatever he desires to do in you? Fear? Liking safety and wanting to be comfortable? The unknown? A battle that you don't know what will lie ahead? Ask the Lord to show you. And then for you, just like me, fear. Am I going to let that hold me back? Someday when I stand before him, am I going to say, well, Lord, it was too scary? Doesn't matter. He says, I am with you. I will not forsake you. I go before you. You know, do not fear. I am with you. Psalm 23, in the midst of evil, you know, is and fear of it, possibly. The psalmist David says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. That's our confidence. That's what our eyes need to be on him. See, the Israelites looked at the giants, the fortified cities. And it discouraged them, and they turned back, and they missed it. Their eyes weren't on God. Caleb's and Joshua's were. Their eyes were on God. He's promised. He's given us his word. He can do it. And he did. And they experienced it. So we're called to more. The battle, though, is real, and there's a handout for you. We've looked at some of the spiritual warfare before. Here's an overview of some facts and scriptures on there of the reality of the enemy and how, where he came from, and yet Christ's power and that he is victor. And there's a heavenly army battling on our behalf. We're not alone in this. And we are his earthly army, and we'll look at it briefly in a minute, how he's equipped us. But look at the contrast in character there at number 3. Satan. And look at the contrast for each. Destroyer. This is out of scripture. This is how he's described. Christ, creator. Satan, murderer. Jesus, life giver. Satan, darkness. God, light. Satan, evil. God, holy. Satan, hate. Jesus, love. Satan, liar. God, truth. Satan, accuser. Jesus, advocate. This is who we walk with. That there is one who is against us, who will lie about who God is, about who we are. Try to hold us back because he says, you can't do that. Who do you think you are? God wouldn't do that for you. He wouldn't love you. He wouldn't call you to himself because look at what you've done. The accuser. But in Jesus, we stand forgiven. And Jesus says, no, this is who you are. Satan will lie about who you are and who God is and about what life is. And Jesus is truth. And he says, I love you. You are precious to me. I gave my life for you. I call you to all that I had in mind when I created you. And I am with you. And I will fulfill my purposes as you desire. This is who he is. So who do we listen to? We need to listen to Jesus and the truths in his word. Who he is. What tactics does he use with you to defeat you, to discourage you, to try to turn you from the Lord? What lies is he feeding you about who God is or how he feels about you? Identify those and then claim truth. Say no. There's a battle going on in Ephesians 6, a familiar passage, but Paul talks about this, identifies who our battle really is. He says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. He said, put on the full armor so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of the dark world, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's real. There's a battle going on, and we're a part of it, whether we want to be or not. But Jesus has equipped us for it. And of course, he says he is with us in it. And he calls the heavenly army to battle on our behalf with it. And he is more powerful. Jesus is victor. We have every confidence in the war, in this battle. He's victor. He's won the victory on the cross, Colossians 2. So these scriptures are there on your sheet. He's won it. He defeated Satan on the cross. And we have Revelation, the picture at the very end, where he will put him away forever. We know how it ends. We know we're on the winning side. He is with us now. The church is falling down on its job. We're just letting him have free rein too much. Let him get away with stuff. We don't recognize it. We need him to open our eyes to the enemy's activity. Now, not everything is of the enemy, but some of it is. And we need to be alert to it and stand against it and defeat him. And so we're always asking, Lord, open my eyes. What's going on here? How do we need to pray? What do we need to do? In January, I had a doctor appointment. I'd been having a little problem since August or something like that. And it got worse and worse and worse. So in January, I saw a surgeon. And it was just as we were just beginning to do all this with the Ann Graham Lotz event. And the surgeon said, yes, you're going to need surgery. And he said, this is one of the most painful surgeries. Yeah, I thought, well, thank you very much. And he says, it'll take 6 weeks of just, you know, recovery. And I was just devastated, discouraged. And I left his office and thought, oh, Lord, I don't have time for this. You know, there's so much now, just now, your brain that I need to be doing. And then the Lord opened my eyes. This is the enemy. This is not just some health issues are, and sometimes we have to walk that journey. This is not. He says, do not receive that. Do not just accept it. That's what I was doing. I wasn't even asking at first. I just was kind of going, okay, well, now I have to do this, and when are we going to fit this in? And it was like, stop. Look what you're doing. You haven't even asked me. This is of the enemy. Do not receive it. Say no. And the Lord will heal you, which he did. Praise God. Now, sometimes we go through it. I've walked through things, the hard things. This time, he says no. It's a battle. This is not of me. Don't receive it. I said no right then. Did not make an appointment. And the Lord just healed. Be discerning. It's a battle. Sometimes he calls us to fight the battle and to walk through it. But he's with us. And he brings us out with the victory. Because this is who he is. Corrie Ten Boom had to walk through that at the concentration camp. She had to experience it. She struggled. Has God forsaken me? But then she got to know him better through it. He needed his light in that dark place. So he sent Corrie. And she was the fragrance of Christ in that concentration camp. She was the light of Jesus that brought hope and light and life to those who were dying. And she came out of that into the fullness of what God called her to with the message to the world. There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. And secondly, Jesus is victor. Praise God. And he is with us in these battles. And he equips us with armor, which is in the Ephesians 6 passage that you can look at. And he gives us weapons that have divine power to demolish strongholds that hold us back of guilt, of fear, of low self-esteem, of fear. I said, all these things are strongholds. He says, break them, demolish them in the name of Jesus. And he gives us the name of Jesus with authority that we are to use to defeat the enemy. John says in 1 John that the reason Jesus came was to destroy the devil's works. We need to stand against it and battle him and move on in all God has called us to. So, it's running a little late here. Let me just close with, in your small groups, I know we're a little short on time and we don't have time to look at it, but Stormy mentions 2 Chronicles 20. And one of those weapons we have in the armor that he talks about too, we have the name of Jesus, we have the Word of God that defeats him with truth. We have prayer and we have praise. And she gives us 2 Chronicles 20 to illustrate that, that praise does a mighty work. And I was going to quote some other quotes here on that, but we know we've been studying it. Praise is powerful. It defeats the enemy. It brings his presence in a powerful way. It gets our focus on him. It encourages us. It increases our faith. Praise is wonderful. So if you have time in your small group, 2 Chronicles 32 talks about some of the tactics of the enemy, that if you wanted to take a look at that and go through and discover it and say, is there any way he's using this in my life, and to bring the power of God into it. Tolkien wrote the book The Hobbit, and I just like to close with Bilbo Baggins. An article here, it says, one day a mysterious old man named Gandalf showed up and said to Bilbo, who was preferring his very comfortable life, I am looking for someone to share an adventure that I am arranging, and it's very difficult to find anyone. I should think so, Bilbo replied. Nasty, disturbing, uncomfortable things. We don't want any adventures here, thank you very much. How tempting it is for us to return to the Lord of the universe and say, we don't want any adventures here, thank you. We want life on our safe terms, secure, predictable, under control, our control. And Ken Geyer, in his book, talks about Bilbo Baggins also. And he said the magician Gandalf told this reluctant and unlikely hero, Bilbo Baggins, there is more to you than you know. He said this knowing that within the hobbit's veins coursed blood not only from the sedentary Baggins side of the family, but also from the swashbuckling Took side. We have a similar mingling of blood within us from a lineage that is both human and divine. While the body is fitted for a terrestrial environment, the soul is extraterrestrial, fitted for heaven. It breathes other air, eats other food, walks other terrain. Most of the time, though, we are burrowed away in our hobbit holes and don't give a thought to our heritage. Bilbo plopped on the hearth of his fireplace before a crackling fire. As he rested there, the dwarfs joined in singing an ancient song. He heard the music. As he listened, something Tookish woke up inside of him, and he wished to go and see the great mountains, hear the pine trees and the waterfalls, explore the caves, and wear a sword instead of a walking stick. Ken Geyer says, at times, something Tookish wakes in me, a sleepy-eyed awareness that there is more to me than I know. And suddenly I want to set aside my walking stick and strap on a sword and leave the cozy security of my hobbit hole in search of some far-off adventure. It's what God's calling us to, each of us, to know him better, that he is the treasure, and experience the fullness of all he's prepared for us and calls us to. For our good, for the furthering of the kingdom, and for his glory. And he says, and don't be afraid, for I am with you. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that whatever we battle in life, you are the victor. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through you. Thank you that you are with us. Thank you that you desire to give yourself fully to us. Thank you that you call us to more. More in you, more of you, more for you. Lord, we praise you that you are the faithful one, that you never leave us in it. Thank you that you've gone before us. Lord, thank you that your power is greater than anything before us. Lord, we thank you that you will be faithful to fulfill your purposes for us as we say yes. Thank you that you fight on our behalf, so the battle is not yours, it's God's. Lord, we praise you today for who you are. We praise you that you call each of us to you. We praise you that you call us to more. We praise you that you call us to cross over to more of all that you have for us in yourself. Lord, meet us in our fears. Free us from any bondage that would hold us back. Open our eyes to the works of tactics of the enemy, to things of the flesh, that would get in the way, that hold us back. Meet each of us in the places where you know we are deep within our hearts. Thank you that you love us and you're patient and you're merciful and gracious. Lord, as we say yes, we thank you that you just throw your arms around us and link arms and walk with us. Lord, we praise you that you are true, and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.